We were too young to be a punk band, but we'd heard punk's big message. Anyone can be in a band, and being in a band is cool. Paul Tiagi. In the beginning, God created punk rock. Invent, accept, reject, repeat. Rock and roll has cycled through this creative sequence since the whole game kicked off. Entire musical genres have been conjured up, embraced by the masses, then discarded when the cool new thing moves in next door and parks its little red Corvette in the driveway. Okay, so the invent bit has often been more of a reinterpretation than something entirely original, but either way, it's out with the old and in with the new. Forget all that stuff you were into last year, this is the new shit, and it's good. Only truly visionary artists have managed to ride the lightning from genre to genre, redefining their art and reselling themselves to the listening public with any credibility. Bowie played chameleon. The Beatles dropped acid. Dylan went electric. The Stones came to our emotional rescue. The fans either tagged along for the ride, if they still liked the music, or decided they didn't much like the look of Mick Jagger in his funny knee pads and pink midriff-revealing singlet, and left it to the young people. Yet this ability to reinvent and carry on creating in brave new musical worlds is rare. Most bands are flashes in the pan, careening from relevance to oblivion within a few years and an album or two. Not Delamitri. From the mid-1980s through to the early 2000s, the Dells not only managed to recast themselves musically a time or two, but lassoed legions of fans and kept them, well, most of them, corralled for the duration. But back to the cycles of rock and roll. Gospel begat soul, soul begat funk, funk begat disco, disco begat electronic dance music, blues begat rock, rock begat hard rock begat heavy metal. And so it came to pass that when Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood decided they'd had enough of the sexed-up barroom swagger of early 70s British hard rock, Led Zeppelin, The Faces, Humble Pie, Exile on Main Street era Stones, and the miserable bloated pomp of British heavy metal, Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, their invention of the Sex Pistols and the punk rock aesthetic in 1975 was as timely as it was inevitable. Punk took a sledgehammer to all that cock rock showmanship and earnest metallurgy, breaking music down to the fundamentals and dressing it up in dystopic garb that screamed, "I don't give a toss about guitar solos and lustrous manes of hair. I'm in it for the bollocks and the beer." Punk was loud, fast, simple, and rude. A blunt, heavy object slamming into the face of establishment rock and metal. Justin Robert Curry. Punk proper, or rather improper, didn't wash up on Scotland's shores until a year or two later, by which time the young Justin Robert Curry was listening. "I got into punk rock at school with James Scobie and Donald Bentley, the initial guitarists in Delamitri," he says. "We were a bit young for the first wave of punk, but we caught up with the second albums of those bands, the second Clash album, Give 'Em Enough Rope, and the second Buzzcocks album, Love Bites. It was the slightly more polished end of punk." School for the teenage Justin was Jordan Hill School in Glasgow's affluent West End. "It was a really snobby school," Justin recalls with palpable distaste. "It had an ethos of being an upmarket posh school, except you didn't pay for it. It was free. A hideous place. I fucking hated it. Full of aspirational, imagination-free tossers that lived in the suburbs and wanted to be lawyers and engineers. There was very little creativity going on. The music teaching was appalling, sticking on a really rubbish classical LP and saying, 'What does that make you think of?' 'Oh, I don't know, is it thunder and lightning, sir?' We didn't have access to musical instruments like kids do now. I think there was a piano that you weren't allowed to touch. So, unless your parents could afford private lessons, you certainly weren't going to learn to play an instrument." It's easy to see how the DIY musical approach of punk would have appealed to anyone tied to the binds of such an institution. For punk rockers, as Justin puts it, it was all about expressing yourself and doing something immediate. Furthermore, the ability to actually play an instrument was secondary to the ability to project a snotty, dishevelled attitude.